2 Corinthians 12 is where we'll be this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn over there. We've been going through 2 Corinthians for some time now on Sunday morning. And this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about the idea focused in verses 19 through 21, which is the idea of raising the bar, raising the expectation. And I want us to think about that a little bit. Do you ever think, as you look around in our world and deal with whether it be work or whether it be relationships or people's choices, do you ever think that maybe we have set the bar down a little too low these days? Does anybody ever feel that way? Well, let's think about that for a minute. You know, people disappoint us. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I know I've been disappointed before by folks. And in our world today, if you think about it, there are a lot of issues going on that bring up the whole idea of people and their choices. There's morality issues. If you've been watching the news this week, then you know that there have been some morality issues regarding things like Twitter and Facebook and people making choices there, which always amazes me that people think it's somehow safe to put something inappropriate out there on the internet, as though everybody is not going to find out. But we see people, whether it be a politician or a CEO of a company or a leader in some other way, making choices that we realize shouldn't be done, that they have to come back and apologize for later and hold a press conference and explain why they were doing the thing that they were doing. It seems like sometimes in our world that people are just unwilling to do the right thing. They see the available options, they see the choice, and yet they seem unwilling to do the very thing that they should most want to do, the right thing. Maybe the hard thing, and yet it's the right thing. People seem unwilling to choose that. We have, as a culture, as a society, lowered expectations of people. We've lowered the expectations. And today, when somebody does something horrible in our society, I don't know if you've run into this or not, but people make a comment on it as you're at the store or you're talking to somebody. And if you're shocked by this bad thing somebody did, people will say, "Oh, come on, don't be so naive. You know everybody does these bad things." You ever heard that kind of comment? You ever felt that kind of thing? The idea being that really we should expect everybody to act poorly. And sometimes I think people enjoy celebrating the failures and mistakes of others, because it takes the pressure off of me personally, right? They individually don't have to take the pressure. Hey, if that person is a leader and they did this terrible thing, then certainly I wouldn't be expected to be problem-free, right? I could make the occasional slip and mistake, and we could just say, well, that's, we just expect that of people. That's what people do. It's not that big a deal. Do you hear people trying to diminish the shock and the concern about this bad thing that somebody did publicly? Do you ever hear that? I think we hear that in our world today. And what that is there's everybody sliding the bar down. So it's just not too hard to get up there to where the bar is. You follow what I'm saying? Morally especially. We often believe that everybody is bad, they just hide it. Do you hear that? Something bad comes out about someone who's a popular person or somebody who's a prominent person, and you hear everybody kind of say things like, well, you knew they were doing some bad things. It's just we didn't have evidence yet. You knew that wasn't working out good. You knew they weren't being who they needed to be. Sometimes it's easy to start to feel that way about others in society. And think about what that says about us when we lower our expectations of the people around us so much. Do you think we do that? I want to challenge us that I think sometimes we do that. And in our world today, we see that. Paul had some expectations for the people here in Corinth. And I want to read about those expectations here in verses 19 through 21 of the passage. It says, "Have you been thinking all along that we've been defending ourselves to you? We've been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening." He's saying this letter I'm writing is not just about me. It's not just about us, the apostles. It's also about trying to help you be what you're supposed to be. Verse 20, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find you as me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger and factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have been indulged." He was saying, you know, I know that I told you the good things, and I've said things to you to strengthen you and help you, but I'm a little concerned that when I come, it might not be like I wanted. Now, this reminds me of something I used to hear. When I was a kid, my dad traveled for a living. The job he had, he traveled, he'd be gone a week or 2 weeks sometimes. And he would leave us a list, a lengthy list, for three teenage boys to do while he was gone. And he would say something kind of like this to me: "Joe, I hope when I get home that you've completed your list. Or else I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be." You understand what that means? Do you feel the edge behind that? Paul is saying here, he says, you know, I love you and I care about you. Don't make me come there and do the hard thing I don't want to do. Don't make me do that. Don't make me come in and when I first talk to you, don't make the relationship that we have strained because you haven't been doing the things you know you're supposed to be doing. You see, he's telling them, I have a level of expectation for you that's way up here. Okay? And your world may only expect this of you, but let me tell you, I, as Paul, as your spiritual father, I hold you up here in high esteem. I expect a lot from you. And he says, don't start performing down here at this level in your lives and doing things you know you're not supposed to do. He says, you're sliding back into these bad ways of behavior, these attitudes and ways that you know you're not supposed to be, and you're doing it anyway. And that's going to grieve me. It's going to hurt my feelings. So he tells them, I don't want to find you as I'm afraid I won't find you as I want you to be. And if they were not acting right, he says, then you will not find me as you want me to be. And as we think about that, how does God treat us and deal with us? Does God find us being who he wants us to be? If God were to come today and just stand before you and say, how are you doing? Does he find us doing things the way that he wants us to do things and live and to be? And if he doesn't find us that way, are we going to find him the way we want him to be with us? Because I want the good things from God. I want happy things. I want good expectations from him to me. And I want to fulfill those. I don't want him to find me in a situation where he has to get on to me and there's wrath or anger. I don't want to find myself at the God's wrath and anger position. Paul goes on to say he will be humbled, meaning that he won't be able to take pride in them the way that he hopes to. That he'll be humbled, that he'll be brought down low because of their choices, and that he will be grieved if he finds things that way. I don't want to grieve somebody. I don't want to grieve my parents. I don't want to grieve God. I don't want the people in my life who look at me to be grieved by my choices. I want them to look at me in a good way. I want them to feel good about me. These people had not repented. They were still wrong before God. And Paul's point is, if you aren't doing what God wants you to do, I can't act like everything's okay between us. Okay? And I want us to think this morning, as we think about our Christian lives, is this fair? Is it fair for somebody to say these things? Do we have the right as Christians to hold each other accountable in the way that Paul is talking about? Do we have the right, maybe even the responsibility, to say to fellow Christians, hey, listen, I want you to be doing those right things. I want you to be acting the way God wants you to act. Is this something that we should be saying to one another? Should Paul have been so tough on these people? See, he held himself as their spiritual father. He tells them that in an earlier place. And he says to them, I want to be able to hold you up in high regard, in high esteem. I want to think of you doing the right things, of being who God wants you to be. Not living the way the world tells us to live, but living the way God tells us to live. And I want to be able to hold you up in that place. And I think he sees it, rightly so, that in his position with them, he needs to be able to hold them accountable. In the same way, I think that we today need to hold each other accountable. Are we supposed to just come to church and have a spiritual family around us, but then just be happy with whatever people do? Boy, I don't think that's God's plan, do you? I think God wants us to say to one another, hey, you know, I have a high level of expectation for you. You can do it. You can be what God wants you to be. Don't let God down. Don't let each other down. Let's not disappoint one another with our behavior and our choices. Let's be what God wants us to be. Let's do better. I think that God has that expectation of His people, that we would hold each other in a place where we would expect more. We need to expect more of each other. The world says these judgments, making judgments about one another, is unfair. The world says, when you come together, don't look at me and expect anything from me. You just be lucky with whatever I give you. But you know, that's not what God says. The world tells us it makes us bad when we judge each other or evaluate each other according to God's word. But God actually tells us He has an expectation for us in terms of how we look at each other in our Christian lives. Go over to 1 Corinthians 5, back in that last book. And here he says, starting in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 5, I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. He said, I don't mean to just avoid people in the world who sin. He said, if that was the case, you couldn't even exist in this world. You'd have to live somewhere else. But he says, verse 11, I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, don't even eat. He's saying, don't make it comfortable. If you've got a Christian brother and he's not living the way God tells him to, if he's not living the way God wants him to, if he's doing these things that are wrong, sexual, greedy things, idolatrous things, if he's doing these things, don't go sit at the lunch table with him and act like everything's fine. Don't make small talk when you know that this brother or sister in Christ is not conducting themselves the way that God would have them to do. He says you can't overlook those things. Verse 12, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? I'm given a responsibility. Now, my judgment is not sending people to heaven or hell. Let me tell you, thank God that is not my responsibility. I'm so thankful for that. And yet it is my responsibility as a brother in Christ to say to someone else, hey, listen, God doesn't want you to act that way. You're not supposed to do those things. You can't treat your own family here on earth that way and expect for God to be pleased with that. God doesn't want you to do that. See, God expects us to hold each other accountable. God wants us as His people to be somebody that strengthens one another when we come together. And that means sometimes it's not just a happy pat you on the back. Hey, how you doing this week? Did you see the football game? Sometimes the conversation needs to go a little deeper. Why did you do that? Hey, I care about you. Don't do that. Hey, I heard what you said. You're not supposed to talk that way. We're Christians. Come on now. We could do better than that. Don't you think God expects us to hold each other in a little bit higher position than the world around us every day? I believe He does. And I believe He wants us to communicate that to one another. And so we need to be the people that God calls us to be. With that in mind, here's a few things. What should we or can we expect from somebody that calls themselves a Christian in our world today? And I just want to go through a few of these real quickly. I'll have the verses listed for you, so you can flip there if you want to, but they'll be written right on the screen. The first one I think that we can expect from somebody who is a Christian in our world today is that they would live a new life. I think we can expect them to do that. God tells us in His Word, Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We are called to live a new life. That means I don't live the life I did before I was baptized into Christ. I'm not to be living that life anymore. And so as a Christian person, I have an expectation of those others who would call themselves a Christian. And that is to be somebody different than they were before they came to Christ. And that means that we should say to other people who are living as Christians, listen, God's called you to a new life. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to maybe some of the relationships you had before. Don't go back to the language and behaviors that you had before. God is calling you to something different. A new life means being someone new. And that new life is not a burden. That new life should be seen as a blessing. It's a blessing to live a new life in Christ. And He's called us to do that. That means that we have a responsibility to say to one another and remind one another what is involved in that new life. And I want to go through a few of those matters today, but there may be other things included in that. And this means that we need to be watching one another's behavior, and we need to be holding each other accountable to live a new life in Christ. The other thing we need to be thinking about is our faith. What about our faith? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we live by faith and not by sight. How hard is it to do this? Isn't this tough? It's a tough one to live by faith and not by sight. Because sight, and what we see every day, and what we can touch, and what we feel like is very real for us, it's very hard not to begin to define ourselves that way in our world today, isn't it? To define us by what we drive or where we live. To define us by what we're able to afford or wear. How that we conduct ourselves in a daily way. Most of the time, those things are about our physical life. And yet God is calling us to a higher calling. The higher calling is to believe, to have faith, and to trust in things that we cannot see. Living by faith and not by sight. And what I've learned, and I think you probably have too through life, is that those things that we see and that we touch are not going to last. Those things don't last. Really, the only things that do last are those things that are born of faith. Spiritual life, that lasts forever. But the physical does not. It does not last forever. And we shouldn't count on it to. God wants us looking above, not here on this earth. And if we are to be God's people, we not only should seek God above all things, but we should help those who claim to be His to seek Him above all things. And I think we have to raise the bar, the expectation that we have on people's faith. We need to call each other to a higher faith. Don't you believe that's true? Think about it in our lives and look at what God is calling us to. Spirituality can be such a touchy-feely thing, can it? It's saying a little word. It's chicken soup for the soul. But God and what He calls us to spiritually is a lot higher than that. It's a lot more than a feeling I get from being in a certain place. Galatians 5:16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." God wants us called to be spiritual people, thinking about spiritual things, focusing on what it is that pleases Him, and not simply trying to please myself each and every day. I can tell you something, and I don't take any pride in it at all, but the fact is, oftentimes, when I start thinking about me, it leads me to a bad place. What about you? When you start dwelling on you and what you want today, when you start thinking, you know what I'd really like for me? That often leads us to a bad place. And it's because our desires are so often shaped by right this moment. What do I want right now? Have you ever bought anything for yourself right now at the moment, and later you look back and wish you hadn't done it? Has anybody ever done that? Have you ever thought, I just want to say this out loud, and so you just go ahead and say whatever you want? How many times does that cost you later? How many times have you been disappointed because of something that you did that was right now at the moment, it was right now at the second, and it didn't think any much beyond that? You know, oftentimes God is calling us to say, listen, think about spiritual things. Think about what I desire from you. Think about what I'm looking for in your life. Dwell on those things. And that's going to turn out differently when we do that. God's calling us to do that, to think more about the Spirit. What about who we are day to day, our consistency? Ephesians 4:1, he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." Shouldn't we be able to expect of fellow Christians that they would live a consistent life in God? Isn't that reasonable to expect? You know, we don't take God vacations, people. We don't do that. God doesn't say, hey, listen, you've been so good for so long, I'll tell you what, why don't you just take a break? Stop reading your Bible. Stop having a regular prayer life. Stop going and attending church like you should. Just stop doing that. God doesn't call us to that. God calls us to be His and belong to Him each and every day of our life. And you know, I know that what He expects of us is to hold each other to that. To say to each other, listen, I want you to be what God wants you to be each and every day. How can I help you? How can I call you to be more of what God wants you to be? He wants us to live a life that's worthy. Part of this, I think, is never stop growing, never stop reading, never stop studying, never stop trying to be more of what God wants to be, learning how to have spiritual conversation with fellow Christians. All these things lead us to be more consistent in our relationship with God. If you feel like as a Christian that you're real up and then you're real down and you're real up and real down, let me tell you, God desires that you would get to a happy place where you are the same with Him day in and day out. If you need that help, God's offering that. He offers that through His Word, through prayer, through a body of believers who strengthens each other together. God wants all that from us. Consistency is a beautiful part of what we are called to in the Christian life. And it's a fair expectation for other believers. Love. Having a behavior and a life of love. Isn't that a reasonable expectation for Christian people? Follow God's example, Ephesians 5:2. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You ever had somebody that was a brother or sister in Christ that just has never told you that they love you? You know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you that I expect everybody in here, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, I expect that you love me. But can I tell you, it means a lot when you tell me that. That even though I know that it's true and that you're supposed to love me, even though sometimes I'm not very lovable, it means a lot to me when you say to me, "Hey, Joe, I really love and appreciate you." You know, that means the world to me. And I don't think I'm alone in that, right? Don't you want to hear that from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? And I think that's a reasonable thing for us to expect from each other, to love each other. And if we're loving one another, let me tell you, we're going to be a lot more likely to love our family. We're going to be a lot more likely to love people that we work with and that we know each and every day. And loving our neighbor, boy, that's a lot easier to do when I'm here loving each other as a church family, right? I think it's a reasonable expectation that we would love each other. And God tells us to do that. What about wisdom? What about how we think, our thinking? Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Let me tell you something. As a Christian follower, as somebody following God's will for your life, it is reasonable to expect each other to be wise about the way we handle things, to be wise about the choices that we make, to be wise about the way we deal with each other and the way that we deal with those who are outsiders, who live in the world that we live in. It is a fair expectation to say we need to be wise about how we do this. And I believe God wants us to do that. But that means reminding each other of doing wise things, making choices that demonstrate our recognition of the value of our relationship with God over all other things. And sometimes we all need a reminder. Hey, let me tell you, it'd be a lot more wise for you to do this or to do that or to choose this over this other thing that you're doing. I think that is absolutely a fair expectation that we would choose to be God's people and that we would make wise decisions. Light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Do we in our life demonstrate light in the world that we're a part of? When we walk in to a room or a situation or into a relationship, do we demonstrate light in that situation? What kind of movies do you watch? Do you think the movies that you watch or the things that entertain you, do you think those things affect your ability to be light in your world? They do. They do, whether we want to believe that or not, it's true. Did you know that our language and what comes out of our mouth has everything to do with whether or not we're light in the relationships that we exist in? In the world that we work in and the people we deal with every day, what about anger? If I demonstrate anger everywhere I go, do you think that represents light? I don't think so. I think God is calling us to something higher, and He wants us to be light. Our relationship with Him is where we get our light from. Then we take that light and we spread it in the world that we're a part of. God has that expectation, and I think it's fair for us to expect that of one another. Finally, Christ. 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. We have to walk the walk of Christ. We have to live the way that Christ lived, and we have to follow that. Now, that's a high calling. But to be a Christian needs to mean something in our world. And I'm going to tell you, in a lot of our world, the name Christian doesn't mean much. Do you know that already? Have you seen that already? Just to say you're a Christian doesn't carry a lot of weight. But to live as a Christian, to follow the example of Christ, let me tell you, that still carries just as much weight as it ever has. And that if we as God's people begin to raise the bar on each other and say, hey, I expect you, if you're going to take the name of Christ, that's going to mean something. And you're going to deliver with choices and behavior, with your actions. They're going to follow and demonstrate the love and the care and the example of Christ in the world that you're a part of every day. If we do that as Christian people, let me tell you something. We will make a difference in the world that we live in every day. Because we'll change it for God. He expects us to raise the bar and have a higher expectation of each other than we do of oftentimes what we have people in the world expecting of us. God calls us to something higher. We need to raise the bar on one another. And we need to say, listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I think a lot of you. And I think more of you than the world thinks of you. And I expect more of you than the world expects of you. And God expects more of each one of us than our world will ever expect of us. God sees more potential and more ability. And God has given us more than anyone in our world could ever give us. We don't want to let Him down, do we? We don't want to let Him down. When Jesus comes, who will He see us being? Who will He see us living as? Will He be pleased with us? I want Him to be pleased with me. I want to please my Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't belong to Him, let me tell you, He expects that you would know the truth that is in Him, that you would come and follow Him. He wants you to do that. He would love to see someone baptized into Christ right now, today. If you're here and you don't belong to Him, come and do that. Begin that relationship. He wants to expect more of you. He believes in you more than anyone else that knows you. Jesus Christ believes in you. He died for you. He wants to be your Savior. If you're here this morning and you haven't been living for Christ the way that you know you should, if you've let the bar drop pretty low in your life, and you know that you need to raise it back up there, don't leave this morning without making that change. Don't leave this morning without saying, I'm going to be more of what Christ wants me to be. And it may be that you need the prayers of this church to do that. If you need the strength that comes from that, that's why it's offered. That's why we do offer this invitation. If you have any need this morning, please come while we stand together and sing.